We're in Deuteronomy 18. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. We're going to look at some scriptures, quite a few scriptures, read quite a bit of scripture. But I want you to listen to me through the words that I'm speaking to you. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I'm not speaking my own words. What I'm saying to you are the words of God. Those are the words of God. So what I'm speaking to you is the words of God my Savior, whom I serve, whose I am, and whom I serve, as Paul said. Now, in time past, the Lord suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. He didn't leave himself without a witness, but he allowed them to go without a prophet, without a teacher, without his word. But showing us how that God would provide his children with teachers, with preachers, with, in the Old Testament, called prophets. Speakers is what they are. Speakers that speak the word of God. Showing us how he would provide those whenever the time had come for God to deliver his children out of Egyptian bondage. That's why he sends a preacher. Through that preacher, he's going to deliver his elect children out of spiritual bondage. And so before he, when it time came to do that, he first raised up Moses. And he sent Moses to preach to Pharaoh and to those children in Egypt. And through that message, he brought his children out of Egypt. And then when he got to the place where he was going to deliver his children into the land he had promised them, he warned them. He gave his words to Moses, and Moses spoke the words he gave him, and he told them that the land they were going into had people in that land who preached things that were an abomination to God. And those people in that land hearkened to those teachers, and they believed those things that were an abomination to God. And he gives this warning right here in verse 14. He says, "For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me." This is Moses speaking. "Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto Moses," this is where Moses got this word, "the Lord said unto Moses, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." That's a good definition of a prophet of God, of an apostle of God, of an evangelist of God, of a preacher, a pastor, a teacher. "I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." We don't have a direct revelation as Moses did. What we have now is the written word of God. And that's what we're commanded to speak. These are the words of God. Now, that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is that prophet that God was speaking to the children about through Moses. He is the prophet. Now, we've seen from the scriptures that Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is the high priest of whom Aaron, the high priest, was a type. He was a picture of it. We've seen how that Christ is the king of whom King David was a type. And now we're seeing that Christ is the prophet of whom Moses was a type. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that Christ is the prophet, the priest, and the king? What does that mean? It means that as the king, Christ Jesus has all power over all in heaven and in earth to govern his kingdom, to rule in the midst of his people, to protect his people, to direct his people, to guide his people, all the servants in his kingdom. He has that power. Christ is the high priest means that he has come and he has effectually accomplished the work that the high priest accomplished. We spent all that time looking at the Day of Atonement. That's what Christ did. He came and by his one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. And not only this, but if you believe the gospel, it's because through the Spirit of God, Christ Jesus purges your conscience, your inner man, and turns you from dead works to serve the living God. This is the work of a high priest. And as prophet, it means Christ has the power to effectually teach every one of those children whom he effectually calls in the heart so that they leave all and come to the Father through him, by him. Now, the Scripture says they shall be all taught of God. And the glory that belongs to God the Father in teaching all his children, he gave to his Son to be the prophet of God. Now, I have three aspects of this to look at this morning. One is before Christ came. The second will be when Christ came. And the third will be now that Christ is risen. I want you to see this. Now, before Christ ever came in human flesh, every true prophet that was sent were given the words to speak by the Spirit of Christ, the prophet. And they all spoke about Christ, the prophet. All right, let me show you that. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 10. Right. He's talking about the salvation that the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Peter said he's after Christ is risen. He's saying, but all those prophets before, they sought diligently, inquired, and they prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. You see that? When it testified beforehand, this is what they spoke. That's how they spoke, by the Spirit of Christ. This is what they spoke. They testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. This is what they spoke of. Paul in Romans 1 says, I was called by Christ, separated unto the gospel, which he had promised by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning what? His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Whenever Nathanael found Philip, he said, we found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write. This is who we're talking about. That was beforehand. All the prophets wrote of him. They wrote of him. By him. And they wrote of him. Now here's the second thing. Then Christ the prophet came and spake to his children in person in human flesh. This is what Hebrews 1:1 says. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, unto the brethren of old he spoke by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. His Son. This prophet is the Son of God. He's exceedingly superior to Moses in that he is God the Son. Now, Moses was a type of Christ in several ways. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 18. Look in verse 15. He said, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren." Now, John said, let me read this to you. I want to get over here and see it myself. John chapter 1, this is what John said. "In the beginning was the Word." Now, Christ is the one who speaks the Word, but He is the Word. You see, if you have His Word abiding in you, Christ abides in you. His words are spirit and truth. He is the Word, and He is the gospel. He is the good news. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then he says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." God dwelt among us. As much as the children were flesh and blood, He took part of the same. He said, "I'm going to raise Him up from among your brethren." And He says, "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." All right, in verse 15 it says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Him, unto him ye shall hearken." Now, He said, "Unto him ye shall hearken." You remember when the Lord came, the Lord Jesus Christ came. And the Scripture says, as they were speaking, a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice spoke out of the cloud. And God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Hearken unto him. Moses was sent for this reason. The Lord called him, and he said, "Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Christ did something far greater. He came, and its Scripture says, "If he shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." He said, "The words that I speak, they're spirit and they're life." His words give eternal life. He makes us completely, totally, absolutely free by the word which He speaks. Moses was given a word from God to tell his people so that they would know that God had sent him. Moses said, "If I go tell them you sent me, they're going to ask me, what's the name of him that sent you? What am I going to tell them?" And the Lord told Moses, He said, "You say, I am that I am." Do you remember when the prophet Christ came to the woman at the well, and he was talking to this woman at the well, and she said, "I know that Messiah cometh, who is called the Christ." And she said, "And when he's come, he will tell us all things." She's referring back to what Moses is saying to us in Deuteronomy 18. She said, "I'm looking for the prophet." And the Lord answered her and said, "I that speak unto thee am." That's what he said to her. He didn't say, "I am, sent me." He said, "I am. I am." God gave Moses to perform power to perform some miracles so that the people would know that God had sent Moses. The Scripture says that whenever the people had seen the miracles that Jesus did, they said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. You see how we're seeing how that Moses and Christ are similar. They're alike. There's a type. There's a picture here of them. But now I want to show you something a little more in depth on this. Deuteronomy 18, verse 16. Now here's what he said. He's going to be like unto me. Verse 16. "According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken." All those children of Israel, the Lord said, "Wash yourselves, be ready. Tomorrow I'm going to speak with you out of the mount." At the mount. And he said, "Now be ready. Assemble yourselves." So they got all washed up and they got ready and they all was going to go out and talk to God. Well, when they woke up, the mountain was on fire, and it trembled, and it shook, and it shook the heavens, and God spoke from off the mountain and gave them a covenant, gave them a law. It was symbolic of the fact that there was no way they were going to be able to commune with God, to fulfill the law that God required, to have anything to do with God. And what they said to Moses was, Moses, you go up to God for us and talk to Him and get the covenant, get the word, and bring it back and teach it to us, because if you don't, we're going to die. We can't talk to God and live. And God said, they have well spoken that. They've well spoken that. You can't commune with God unless you have a mediator between you and God. And that man is the man Christ Jesus, the prophet of God. He can come into God's presence, and he can come into our presence, and he can teach us the truth of who God is and how God saves. Now, Moses was a mediator of a legal covenant. That simply means God gave this law to show the great transgression that we committed in the garden in Adam, to show that, to make our sin exceedingly sinful to us, to show us the depths of the transgression that we committed against God, to show us that we're undone. There's no possible way we can come into God's presence unless somebody come and do something for us. Now, the Scripture says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, look at Hebrews 8. Hold your place there in Deuteronomy and go over to Hebrews 8. And look at verse 6. Now, it talks about Moses. I'll read this verse 5. It says, all those things that Moses was given was a shadow of heavenly things. That means they were types and pictures. God was declaring what He was going to do in His Son. As Moses was admonished of God, he was given this word from God, and he came forth and did what God told him to do. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee to thee in the mount. But now hath he, this is talking about Christ, that prophet, the prophet, now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he's the mediator of a better covenant, established upon better promises. You know why it's a better covenant? You know why it's established? And you know why it has better promises? Because in that first covenant, God said, if you'll do this, I'll do this. And there wasn't anybody in their midst that could do what God said for them to do. This covenant's better because God didn't ask you to do anything. He didn't command you to do anything. He gave it all to His Son, and His Son said, I'll perform it. And He came and worked the work of God. And He is the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He says here, if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. He's telling us you can't come to God in the law. There was no fault with the law. The law is holy, just, and good. The fault was in us for finding fault with them. He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. That's the law that Moses gave. Because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. That's the end of that. That's the end of it. God's not obligated to anybody that tries to come to Him under the law, because you don't continue in it, and He won't regard you. Well, for this is the covenant. This is that better covenant, verse 10, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their mind. Not on a tablet of stone. I'm going to create a heart of flesh, and I'm going to write it in their heart. I'm going to write it into their mind and write them in their hearts. And He's talking about the laws of love and grace and faith. And that's what He's talking about. Watch Him now. He says, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. All his children, all those that he's going to, when he writes this law in their heart and he teaches them, how are they going to all know? Because they're all going to be taught of God. Who's going to teach them? Christ the prophet's going to teach them. He's the mediator of this covenant. He brings it and teaches it and testifies in the heart of his people and tells us what this covenant is. He is that word that enters in. And he says, and this is what I'll do. I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now that's good news. When he comes and he tells you that, now look at Hebrews 9. You know what a will and testament is. A testator writes out what his will is. It's his will and his testimony. What he has to say about his will and who his inheritance goes to. Now, that testator that writes out that will, that testament does not go into effect, even though you may be the one he's written into that will to be the recipient of his inheritance. It doesn't go into effect until the one who is the testator dies. And then they come to you and they set you down and they tell you, they read the will, and they tell you what the testament was of the man who wrote the will and what the inheritance is that you freely receive. You didn't do a thing. Somebody died and they left it to you. They gave it to you. Well, Christ is the testator. When it says he's the mediator of this better covenant, he's the testator. He's the one who is one with the Father. He's the one who is joint heir with the Father. He's the one to whom the Father entrusted this work. And he came, and what he had to do was he had to die as a man for this testament to go into effect. And he says here, and then verse 9, Hebrews 9:15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. Here's the reason why. He was made flesh like unto his brethren. He came to where we are, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under that first testament. That first testament started in the garden. It didn't start at Mount Sinai. It started in the garden. You came under the curse of God's broken law when Adam sinned in the garden. That law he gave to Moses was to be recorded to teach us the great transgressions that were committed under that first covenant. Christ came and redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us, for everyone he represented. And he says here, he did that, that they which are called. You see, he's not only the testator, the mediator in the regard that he's the one that died and wrought this work of grace on the behalf of his Father and on the behalf of the children, but he's the one who also does the calling and teaching so that they understand in the heart what he's done. You understand that? And he gives them the promise of eternal inheritance. His gospel is, when Christ the prophet speaks in the heart, the message that he declares is, he has established the law. He has completely done everything that God requires for you. That's what he'll say if he comes and he testifies this in your heart. And he'll tell you, you're justified from all transgressions, from all iniquity, from all your sin. And he will tell you this, the chastisement of your peace was on him, and with his stripes, you're healed. Healed. Whole. Whole as God is whole. That's holy, what that is. You're whole. And he'll say to the child to whom he speaks, your sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. There's no more offering for sin. There's nothing else to offer anymore. And he'll say to this, free inheritance is yours. What all does that include? Everything that belongs to God. All things are yours. Joint heirs with Christ. Everything belongs to Christ is yours. That's what this prophet will testify. Now, I want to look at this third point, and I want you to get this, because this is where folks tend to at least act like they forget this. Turn over to Matthew 28. This is the third thing. Now Christ is risen. Now I can understand, you can probably enter into the fact that when he walked this earth and he taught people in person. And he was the prophet there in person, and he walked this earth. You could probably say, well, I can understand him being the prophet there. He's still the prophet. He was the prophet of God, by whom all the prophets spoke before he came. They spoke by the Spirit of Christ, and they spoke about him. He's the prophet that came. And when he came, he's the only one that ever came that didn't tell them about another. He came and preached himself. He was the only, and that's what he was sent to do. And now, he sends forth his pastors and his teachers and his evangelists, and they go forth, just as those prophets of old did, they go forth with this written word complete, with the Spirit of Christ in them, with the word that he gives them to speak, and they shall speak the word he gives them to speak. And it is still Christ the prophet who is teaching through the Holy Spirit, through his word, in the hearts of his people. All right, let's see this. That's what Paul said. He said, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now look what he said here before he ascended. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spake unto them. This is his disciples. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spake unto them. And this is what he said. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power as the prophet, the priest, and the king. All power as the king who supremely can deliver us and protect us and order his kingdom in righteousness. All power as the high priest whose one offering has perfected his people forever, who's able to purge the conscience and draw us near to God. The all power as the prophet to teach effectually in the heart. Listen to this now. This is what Paul said plainly is the problem with men who want to constrain other men with using God's word, constrain them and glory in what they've made other men do and have you to observe certain days and certain meats and certain drinks and are continually pointing you to things that are of the earth and earthy and making you think that righteousness is in something you do or don't do. Paul said this is the problem with those fellows. Colossians 2:19. They do not behold the head. Christ is the head of the church, his body. And it's from which? From the head, from Christ, the prophet. All the body, it's Colossians 2:19. All the body, by joints and bands, have nourishment ministered to them from the head, from the prophet, from the prophet of God, the head of his church. They have nourishment ministered to them, and they are knit together, and they increase with the increase of God. He said the same thing in Ephesians 4:15. He says the head, even Christ, is he from whom the whole body is fitly joined together. He does it. Just as real as when he walked this earth and walked up to Peter and James and John and said, follow me. He does it. And you'll find yourself following him if he ever speaks this word in your heart. And if you're in error and you're walking contrary to his word, he is the king who can work all things together and fitly join you together with another one of his saints and fitly bring you together and give it in the heart so that one speaks a word in season to the other in the spirit that's needed to be, how it's needed to be said, and he works effectually in that heart and he compacts you together and he supplies every ministering, every nourishment, he makes this bread effectual. He makes this bread to be sanctified to you. He makes this bread to cause you to grow. And it says here, by his effectual working in the measure of every part, of every individual child whom he redeemed, he teaches them. Every single one of them, and he maketh increase of the body. That's what he does. makes it to edify itself in love. Now, the prophet, the priest, and the king, he declared to these insufficient earthen nobodies that he had called out and taught in the heart before he ascended, he told them, he said, all power is mine to do this. And he said then, verse 19, Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them. Now what did he say back there when he said, I'm going to raise up a prophet, and he said, I'm going to put my words in his mouth, and they shall speak what I command them to speak. Now Christ came, and he even said, when he was here walking on this earth, the prophet of God, he said, my words are not my own. I speak that which was given to me of the Father. And it was given to him of the Father, and he spoke those words. And you know what every one of his ministers do that he sends? He gives them the words, and they speak the words. They speak the words. All right. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And Christ our prophet, our priest and our king, he gives us this cause of the certain triumph of this ministering, of going forth and preaching. He says, verse 19, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now don't make any mistake about it. Right now, as he always has, as he did when he walked this earth, as he did before he even walked this earth, as he did when he walked this earth, and even right now, as the king, as the priest, as the prophet, he is able to break every barrier, break down every obstacle, to send forth his spirit who is like the wind. You don't know where it's coming or where it's going, and you can't stop it or say, question him or do anything. He brings it, and he teaches this word. He's able to send his messenger to his people. It don't matter if they're on the backside of the desert where Moses was when he called him in the burning bush, and Moses drew near to him and he said, take your shoes off, Moses. I'm talking to you now. He's able to do that. That's how he did it with Moses. In various manners, he spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets. But in these days, he's spoken to us by his Son. And now, this one who has been inaugurated into these offices eternally, this God, the Son of God, has no problem with any obstacle in any little fickle, fumbling, ignorant being on this earth to work this work of grace when he's pleased to do it. He'll bring them to a eunuch from Ethiopia out on the backside of nowhere on a road that was to bypass, had done bypassed it by. And he sent his prophet out there and he preached the gospel to him at high noon at the most unlikely time in the middle of the desert to the most unlikely person, and God saved him. Christ taught him. And he heard it. This is the God we're talking about. This is the God we're talking about. Now, Paul said this. He said, I have planted, Apollos is watered, but it's God that gave the increase. He said this, Christ sent me not to baptize. What did he send me to do? He didn't send me to try to build his church. He didn't send me to try to get converts. He didn't send me to try to make men moral. He didn't try to send me to make men reform themselves. That's not what he sent me for. He sent me for this, to preach the gospel. It don't matter if he does a thing through my preaching, or he don't do anything, or he does wonders through my preaching. That's not what my charge is. My charge is not to worry about that. My charge is to preach the word he's given me to preach. What he does with it's his business. And he said, not with wisdom of words. I'm not to take these words. He says, I'm going to give you two words of warning here in a minute. One of them is this. He says, then that prophet that shall presume to speak in my name, that which I've not commanded him to speak, that prophet's going to die. He said, if they don't speak according to this word, to this testimony given by the testator into the heart of his prophet, it's because there is no light in them. Period. Got that? And he said the result will be, if you go and read it in Isaiah, he said the result will be those men and everyone that they mutter and peep to will go through life hardly bestead and hungry. And when they're famished, they're beaten and they're whipped, they'll curse God and they'll look at their self. They'll look at the earth because that's where they've been taught to look. Mind earthly things. And they'll be hungry and all they'll perceive is darkness. And God said, and they'll be driven to darkness. I'll turn them over to a reprobate mind that they might believe a lie. We're living in that age right now. Reformed preachers, Presbyterian preachers, Pentecostal preachers, Papists, Islam, Muslim, all the bunch. It's works religion, trying to yoke and bind and whip and God's messengers come declaring setting the prisoners free, not binding them and yoking them. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Here's why we don't use wisdom in the words, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Now, here's a word of warning. This is to you, back there in Deuteronomy 18. I'll tell you what. You'd be turning to John 6. John 6. Now, let me give you this word of warning in Deuteronomy. It shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which that prophet shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. I'll require it of the man who doesn't hear it. John 6:28. What is the word Christ spoke? Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. What else? Not anything else. Well, I don't believe that. God's going to require it of you if you don't. Because this is what the prophet said. These are the works of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. He that believeth on the Son hath life everlasting. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, what do we say about that? Turn over to Hebrews 12. We'll be done. Hebrews 12. You see, this gospel is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A man can seem religious. A man can have all his doctrine down. A man can have all his creed in order, have it memorized front and back. He can have all the traditions, that he know all the traditions. He can be staunch, ready to die for his denomination. But when he hears the word of this gospel, he'll side with harlots and prostitutes before he'll side with God's preacher. How do I know that? Look at the foot of Calvary's cross and see the Pharisees with the Romans, with the Gentiles, with the Sadducees, with the heathens that didn't even know him, all joined together crying out, we have no king but Caesar. This is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is it. I don't know. I can't tell you. I have no idea. But this word right here will discern, make the discernment. Well, what do we say about that? Hebrews 12:18. Remember that mount over there that they came to? Now, he's speaking to believers right here. Here's what he said. Ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched. You can't touch the mountain that we've come to. It's not a carnal mountain. That might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard and entreated that the words not be spoken to them anymore, for they couldn't endure that which was commanded. That's why they said what they said. Verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, this city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, that mother of us all that's free, that's above, that only can be seen with the eye of faith, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. That's where this... Somebody asked me the other day, what I need to do to get my name on y'all's church roll? You come sit down and hear the gospel. Maybe the prophet's written your name on it. I don't know. Maybe he has. Maybe he'll make you to understand he's done it. This is written in heaven. We come to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, that mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. This mediator of this new covenant speaks better things than that blood of Abel. That blood was under that old legal covenant. This is that blood of that new covenant. And he speaks better things through this blood, and he says, here's what you word, here's what you want to hear. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, those that didn't heed Moses' word, what happened to Korah and all his merry men of pranksters? What happened to all them? God swallowed them up, didn't he? You know what will happen if you don't hear this word right here? God may not open up the world, the earth physically and swallow you up in an earthquake, but I'll tell you what he'll do. You'll be driven to darkness and you will be swallowed up out there in that world and be twice dead. That's what happened when for that one that spoke on earth. He says, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh. Where? From heaven. That's where he is. That's where he's speaking. Now, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. We're going to be so brazen to say, well, that's not all. That's not all. Oh, heed this word. And the other word of warning he gave over there was, he said, if a prophet presumes to speak in my name, that which I have not commanded him to speak, he'll die. He'll die. I'll tell you something. I'm seeing this more and more. When he told them, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He's talking to preachers. Just as much as he's talking to me and you walking around on this earth and using his name like a cuss word. Preachers that presume to speak in his name have taken his name in vain and presume to speak that which he had commanded to be spoken. Dangerous thing to fall into the hands of a living, angry, fiery God. All right.